You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. In this segment of Surrounded by History, we will dig into the history, the stories, behind one of our community's annual events. Since 1972, the Mankato community has celebrated the history and culture of the Dakota people through the traditional Makato Wachipi, or Mankato Powwow. Today we will explore how the powwow got its start and the cross-cultural significance of this annual event. Sit back while we are surrounded by history. In 1958, Bud Lawrence, who was a local businessman and community advocate, and Amos Owen, an artisan, cement mason, and community leader at Prairie Island Indian Community, met while fishing near Prairie Island, which is close to Red Wing. Over the years, the friendship between Bud and Amos involved family outings, and despite Bud's non-Indian heritage, he always was clear to tell people he was Norwegian, the two men often discussed Native American history, culture, traditions, and injustices. In 1963, Bud helped to organize a father's and son's camp at Prairie Island through the Mankato YMCA's Indian Guide Program. This became the first cross-cultural project organized by Bud and Amos. In August 1965, Bud, an MSU student, Barry Blackhawk, walked 100 miles from Mankato to Prairie Island in 2 days to attend the powwow there.
Wow, 2 days. That's a lot of walking.
It's crazy. Barry was an MSU student, was also a descendant of the Winnebago tribe that lived in Blue Earth County in the 1850s and 60s. We talked about this in a previous podcast. The men carried with them a scroll from Mankato YMCA Secretary Jim Buckley to the Red Wing YMCA Secretary Bob Schneider. The scroll said, quote, "Send you this message of lasting peace and friendship between our two nations. May we always be able to work together." On August 29th, 1965, just a few weeks later, Amos, along with three delegates, came to Mankato to hold a mini powwow in the YMCA's gym. 20 members of the Prairie Island community also came to celebrate with presentations and dancing. This was the first powwow in Mankato in over 100 years. 4 years later, in July 1969, Bud once again made the 100-mile walk, this time with Jim Buckley from the Mankato YMCA. This walk was to honor Amos Owen's election as the spiritual leader of the Prairie Island community. In 1972, Bud and Jim were talking about ideas for an annual event that could focus on the area's culture. Thinking about his friend at Prairie Island, Bud tossed out the idea of having the wise men sponsor an authentic Dakota powwow in Mankato with the whole town invited. He knew he could count on Amos to help coordinate such an event. The two men had talked over the years about putting an event on. Jim agreed to the proposal, and as head of the YMCA's Wise Men Association, mobilized the club's resources to support the project. City manager Bill Bassett also supported the idea by donating the use of Key City Park and free use of the utilities. Do you know where Key City Park is?
I was just going to ask. I don't. Is it still called Key City Park?
It's not, but it's a place you hang out all summer long.
Oh, okay. Is it Franklin Rogers Park?
It is.
Okay. Very nice.
The first traditional Makato powwow, or Wachipi, which means dance in Dakota, was held at Key City Park in Mankato on September 16th through the 17th in 1972. Wachipis were times when Dakota gathered to dance and sing, as well as celebrate old friendships and make new ones. A Wachipi was also important for religious rituals, such as naming and honoring ceremonies. Today, Wachipis still play an important role in the lives of many Native Americans, not only as celebrations, but also as a way of passing their culture and traditions down to the next generation. So why is this such a big deal? Well, after the numerous white and Native American conflicts ended in the late 19th century, Wachipis were viewed by the U.S. government and the white community as suspicious. Oppressive government policies during the 19th and 20th century forced Indians to give up many of their cultural and religious traditions. Until Congress passed the American Indian Religious Freedom Act of 1978, many religious ceremonies, including powwows, were illegal to hold.
Wow, that's ridiculous.
So this is why it was such a big deal that that powwow was held.
It was before the 1978, so technically it was illegal to hold even.
It was, yes. So this first Mankato Wachipi or Makato Wachipi in 1972 had an estimated 2,000 Dakota, along with other tribes that came from North and South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Wisconsin, Iowa, and throughout Minnesota to participate.
Wow.
This was the first time in over a century that Dakota and other tribes had gathered and celebrated in Mankato. The powwow was sponsored by the Mankato Wise Men's Club.
So quickly, did that become the Wise Club? Is that the Wise Club? Okay.
Yeah, because the YMCA was the Young Men's Christian Association.
Right.
So I think
that was the Wise Men's at the time. Yeah. Now it's just Wise Club. Okay.
Right. And it was And it was also hosted by the Minnesota Intertribal Dakota Council. During the final event of the powwow, eagles circled over the dancers, then flew away when the dance ended. Since eagles are sacred in Dakota culture, this was viewed as a good sign. Because of the eagles and the high Dakota attendance at the Wachipi, the event was regarded as a success by both Dakota and the organizers. After 1862, this is another reason way to look at it. After 1862, the Dakota viewed Mankato and Fort Snelling as places of tragedy and heartbreak. Because of the 1972 Wachipi, for the first time in over 100 years, the Dakota people gathered again to visit and trade knowledge about their culture. Later in his life, Amos Owen described the Wachipi as an attempt to rediscover Dakota culture. Quote, "The young people are trying to find their way back, find their ancestry," end quote. Owen told them to, quote, "leave that competitive world behind. Let's go back 100 years ago and do things the way they used to be done," end quote. It took a couple of years before the powwow was again organized in Mankato. In 1975, the powwow was moved from Key City Park to Sibley Park, and it became a three-day event. This was also the first year of the powwow button that was sold. Funds raised from the button sales was used for prize money for dance competitions. At this powwow, over 5,000 Dakota and non-Dakota attended. In 1976, the Minnetowakaton Club, a nonprofit organization, was founded. Members of this organization include Dakota and non-Dakota from the Mankato area and indigenous communities. This is on their website. The Minnetowakaton Association provides an avenue for bridging the gap in Indian-white relations in the Mankato area. The purpose of the association is to create a climate for positive interaction between Minnetowakaton Dakota and non-Dakota people, to learn about and promote an understanding of the Minnetowakaton Dakota culture, to contribute to a broadened understanding of Minnetowakaton Dakota people and their contributions to this community's development. As a means of realizing these purposes, the Minnetowakaton Association has for many years co-sponsored and helped organize events with the Dakota communities that have allowed descendants of the 38 Dakota to feel comfortable in returning to their ancestral home. A few years later, in 1980, the city of Mankato demonstrated its support of the Makato Wachipi by designating a park site named Land of Memories, and it was named by the Dakota people. this location had been a place where the Dakota people had historically gathered each fall at the confluence of the Blue Earth and Minnesota rivers, and that is where Land of Memories is located. There, they traded personal goods, they shared ideas, they just came together as a people.
Quickly, confluence. I'm glad we learned that word a long time ago because it continues to come up.
I know, it's like one of your favorite words, too.
It really is. And two, it's kind of cool that that spot was already a natural gathering spot. It just wasn't a park thrown together someplace.
Nope. It's a very spiritually significant location for the Dakota, and that's why it's very significant to being where the powwow was held.
Okay.
So it was wonderful that the city designated that spot back in 1980. Still, think about how things were still changing, still so changed, so many raw emotions.
Which is 1980 feels like it wasn't that long ago. That's 40 years ago already.
Exactly.
But still,
exactly.
Relatively isn't that long ago.
No, exactly. So beginning in 1981, so just a year after it became Land of Memories, the annual traditional Wachipi event has been held in honor to the 38 Dakota warriors who died in the 1862 execution, the largest mass execution in U.S. history. Glenn Crooks presented a staff with 38 eagle feathers on it to Bud Lawrence in remembrance of the 38 Dakota warriors who were hanged in 1862. This staff, presented in 1981, continues to make an appearance at every Wachipi.
Wow. That's incredible.
Isn't that neat?
That's really neat.
So there's a whole bunch of great stuff that has happened to get this off the ground. I think this is a great place to take a break, and we'll come back and talk about what has been happening since.
And we're back with Surrounded by History with Jessica Potter, learning about the Mankato Powwow and the history of how it started and the honoring and everything else that goes on in Land of Memories Park. And go ahead and continue.
Yeah. So 1987 was a really big year statewide. In 1986, Governor Rudy Perpich declared 1987 to be the year of reconciliation, since it was the 125th anniversary of the U.S.-Dakota conflict. Governor Perpich issued a proclamation of reconciliation between Minnesota Dakota and non-Dakota people. Statewide mutually created educational activities by Dakota and non-Dakota were to take place as a means of continuing the healing process between the Dakota and non-Dakota Minnesotans. This was the same year a memorial relay run between Fort Snelling and Mankato took place on December 26th. The run was done in memory of the people who died during the war and those who were executed. Since 1986, the run has occurred every year in all types of weather. It is sponsored by the Dakota Lakota Society, the Indian Nations Running Club, and the Mahkato Mittitawakatin Club. During the run, a baton made from the branch used in the Dakota Sun Dance is passed from runner to runner. This run opened and closed the Year of Reconciliation. In recognition of the Year of Reconciliation, the Mahkato Mittitawakatin Club accepted a challenge issued by Lakota educator, writer, and political activist Vine Deloria Jr., to create new ceremonies involving Dakota, non-Dakota, and the land, which were believed to be essential for beginning to build a new shared history. At the 1987 Mahkato Wachipi, school children learned about and experienced Southern Minnesota history and Dakota heritage through a unique direct cultural exchange with Mittitawakatin Dakota and other tribal peoples at what would become known as Education Day. On December 26, 1987, Governor Perpich unveiled the Winter Warrior statue at the Blue Earth County Library. The statue depicting a Dakota warrior was carved by local artist Thomas Miller. A Canadian Dakota elder told Miller that the statue was important because, quote, "This sculpture will help to bring the two peoples, Dakota and non-Dakota, together," end quote. The need for reconciliation efforts to heal wounds of the past were stressed during the whole Year of Reconciliation. A decade later, in 1997, Thomas Miller was once again commissioned to create a sculpture dedicated to Dakota history and reconciliation. The limestone bison that stands in Reconciliation Park in downtown Mankato stands in remembrance of the 38 Dakota warriors who were killed in 1862. The bison is a symbol of the spiritual survival of the Dakota people and honors the Dakota heritage of this area. Alongside the bison is a poem written by Amos Owen.
That's what's on that. It looks like a scroll.
Nope, we're not at the scroll. This is right next to the bison.
Isn't the scroll right there, too, in that area?
Yep, but it's not the same thing.
Okay, sorry. Never mind.
That's okay.
Tell me more about the scroll.
I will. I will get there. So in 2007, a heritage plaque was installed in honor of the Ho-Chunk or Winnebago people who were forced to leave Blue Earth County and Minnesota after the U.S. Dakota War of 1862. They were located on a reservation near St. Clair, something we've talked about in a previous podcast. This plaque for the Winnebago is located between Veterans Memorial Bridge and the North Star Bridge, about a half mile south of Reconciliation on the Riverwalk. A year later, in 2008, a heritage plaque was erected at Land of Memories Park to commemorate the first Makoto Wachipi in 1972. Land of Memories, as you remember, has been home to the powwow since 1980.
Cool.
So here's your question. In 2012, the Makoto Wachipi marked the 40th annual powwow and coincided with the 150th anniversary of the U.S.-Dakota conflict of 1862. In commemoration of the 150th anniversary,
Sesquicentennial, by the way.
Nice big word.
Thank you.
A memorial was installed at Reconciliation. The memorial is the shape of two large scrolls, which lists the names of the 38 Dakota warriors who were hanged on December 26, 1862, near that location. Included on this memorial, on the backside, is a prayer written by Dakota elder Eli Taylor and a poem by Mankato scholar Catherine Hughes. The theme of this memorial is Forgive Everyone Everything. At the 2019 Wachipi, the Powwow Arbor at Land of Memories Park was dedicated. The circular four-color arbor symbolizes the four directions along with other significant spiritual meanings in Dakota Lakota culture. Black starts in the west, red north, yellow east, and white to the south. Like any group's beliefs and spiritual systems, the four colors and directions have a much more complex history than the abbreviated version that we're giving here. The four entrances to the arbor are facing towards each of the four directions. To learn more about the spiritual significance, I encourage you to visit Land of Memories during the annual powwow, the third full weekend in September, or visit the Mittawakaton Association's website. So it all started with two men fishing. In 2002, Bud Lawrence looked back on how that friendship over fishing in 1958 launched an event that has touched thousands and mended old antagonisms. This is a quote from Bud in 2002. My motivation was on bringing a culture back here that had been missing all these years. As for Amos's motivation, Lawrence put his hands together, interlocking his fingers. Quote, Amos was always, bridge the gap and bring people together in peace, end quote. Amos Owen, Dakota spiritual leader whose influence and cross-cultural educational efforts extended worldwide, died in 1990. Jim Buckley, co-founder of the annual Wachipi, said of Amos, quote, he helped our community become more accepting. He broke a big barrier when he opened the door for the Indians to come back to Mankato without fear, end quote. On October 26, 2017, Art Owen, Amos's son, officially adopted Bud Lawrence, a Norwegian, into the Dakota tribe and gave him the Dakota name Chunta Duta, which means red heart or heart of an Indian. Bud passed away a month later. The legacy left by these two men, Bud Lawrence and Amos Owen, can be seen in many parts of Mankato, including the annual powwow, the Mittawakaton Association, the Heritage Room at South Central College. They were influential in the creation and development of Reconciliation and Land of Memories parks. Even the naming of Dakota Meadows Middle School came out of their involvement in this community. But greatest of all is their lasting legacy of friendship and reconciliation. We hope you enjoyed today's program as we explored the history of a local annual event, the Makoto Wachipi. All of the information we share today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society with help from the Minnetowocatin Association. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.